Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports joins us to talk Pain Day. How you doing, Frank?
Hey, what's going on?
Everything good, man?
Everything's great. You know, it's two mediocre teams battling it out on Monday Night Football. What could be better?
Yeah, what do you think of the game tonight?
It's one of those where this is just the Cowboys in a nutshell. They should have been up 17-0 in the first quarter, and somehow you look up and it's 7-7. That's just the Jason Garrett Cowboys, isn't it? I mean, they're not getting the job done. Now, they could come back, win tonight, go on a roll. I don't know. But there's just always something lacking with this team, and you can kind of see it tonight against a Titans team that is pretty much no business winning on the road against somebody like Dallas.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I gotta start with this, the Le'Veon Bell thing. Because he's got to, 8 days to sign this tender, which he will do, obviously. This was his plan all along, to wait till the last minute so that he gets his remaining whatever it is. Now, the Steelers, I think it's around $8 million, but the Steelers can play games with him. Do you think that they will? Because I think that they could actually screw him for another $1.2 million if they wanted to from some of the rules that I was reading about today.
I don't know. At what point are you just being petty and not in the best interest of your football team? I mean, yeah, I guess they could play some games, save a little bit of money. A significant amount of money.
I mean he played games with them, didn't he?
Yeah, right. But at the end of the day, if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think you have to look at it like this. They're first place of the AFC North, and yeah, James Conner's been great, don't get me wrong. But you're talking about adding an all-pro player to your roster. When you're 5-2-1, you played very, very well. I think you just put all of the other nonsense aside. You say, all right, here's our situation. We're accepting you back because you're a great player and you're going to help this team win. And whether it's using both those guys at the same time or keeping sure, making sure they're both fresh down the stretch, I think there's no downside to adding an all-pro player at this point. And I think Mike Tomlin's going to figure it out. I've actually been very impressed with Tomlin this season. He kind of steered them through these problems they had early in the year, and right now they're first place. And I really think he's going to figure this out. And I think they're just going to say, all right, whatever happened, happened. Let's just figure this out for the last half of the season and coexist together.
Yeah, I got to tell you, it's very frustrating watching this guy do this. I've never seen in my life, that I can remember, a holdout like this. Certainly even with Pittsburgh or anybody, where a guy literally just almost the whole season, he just blew off when he had $14.5 million sitting on the table. And then now he's going to come back. He lost $7.7 million or something to that effect. And he's going to play in about seven games, right, and playoffs if they make it. And then he's going to leave Pittsburgh. You don't see them ever cutting a deal with this guy, do you?
No, I just think you're too far gone at this point. I mean, I just don't see it, especially with James Conner emerging like he has. He's kind of the reason that running backs aren't very highly valued anymore. You can find James Conner in the third round and pay him $700,000 instead of paying Le'Veon Bell $15 million and get similar production. Even, hey, James Conner is on pace to have better production than some of Le'Veon Bell's better seasons.
Right.
So, you know, I look at it as, look, Le'Veon Bell made a business decision. And, you know, maybe I don't agree with it, maybe you don't agree with it, but he obviously thought, hey, this is what I want to do. This is my career path I want to take. This is what I got to do. The only other holdout I can remember like this was Vincent Jackson. Remember when he was with the San Diego Chargers back in the day? That was probably about 2007 or 8, and he held out until about week 10. It's just, hey, look, I mean, he didn't want the franchise tag. The Pittsburgh Steelers gambled that he was going to play nice and play all season for them. He went a different direction. They should have seen this coming. It was always on the table for that to happen and not, you know, taking up 421 more touches on his legs. So it's just one of those things. I look at the Pittsburgh Steelers did what they had to do business-wise. Le'Veon Bell made a business decision. It's just a business. And now you got to figure out how you're going to move on.
But, you know, a lot of these guys, Frank, like this David Johnson, no relation to the money situation here. But my point is, like, he got hurt, right, and then came back. And everybody – remember when he was, like, the guy and everybody was saying he's, like, the man and he's the best running back in the league and everything. And then he got hurt. Now, I know it's different, but my point is this. Like, he came back. He, in my view, is not the same player. And then, and some people may not agree with that, but he hasn't done anything at all, if you ask me. And then the other one is, the, like, Bell. You know, this guy is the situation. It is about money, and he's only going to play in so many games. And then he'll get all this money, right? He's going to get $200 million, and something will happen to him, not injuries or whatever. But I guarantee you know what happens to running backs in about 3 years when he's, what is he, 27? He'll be 30. And you know what happens. So who's going to – I think whoever signs him is going to get fleeced in the long run. I think he's a great player, but I think he's got – let's say he cuts a five-year deal. I bet he gives them 2 good years.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you, and that's why the Steelers did what they did. I mean, it's I have never blamed the Steelers for playing this game with the franchise tag. Players don't like it for obvious reasons, but that's why you have it. You have it because they're saying, look, we're not giving you a long-term. The long-term deals for running backs, when was the last time one worked out? You're absolutely right. You signed a guy to 5 years. Yeah, you might get 2, maybe 3 if you're lucky, but it's just not the way running backs work these days. I mean, that's just how it is. Not to mention, again, you can find your James Conners or Jordan Howards or whoever in the 3rd, 4th round of the draft and be just fine at that position. We've seen that time and time again. So I never blame the Steelers at all, but I think somebody will sign them. I mean, there's a lot of teams that have managed the cap so well that there's a lot of cap room out there. A team like the Houston Texans, maybe, who need a running back. Or, you know, somebody's going to talk themselves into it. He's such a great player. He really is. But you kind of buyer beware. You know that maybe you're not getting the, you know, 3, 4, 5 prime years out of Le'Veon Bell you're hoping to get.
Yeah, I really, you know, was turned off by all the, to be honest, the strip clubs and the rap concerts and the, you know, jet skiing and you know, making fun of the team. I just was, like, so turned off by him and this whole thing. And I just had the worst taste in my mouth from Le'Veon Bell. I think he's a great player, too. Rock star status. But, I mean, at the end of the day, if you got to play these games with guys like this and Jimmy Butler in the NBA and they sit down and they say they're not going to play and they play these games, you know what? Screw you. Get out. I don't even need you. Bye. I got to ask you about the Bills. I really do. And I have a lot of questions tonight, Frank. I may have to keep you for 2 segments. First of all, I have never seen anything worse in my life, and Carver High will back me up on this, than Nate Peterman. How is that guy, honestly, no offense to Nate, he's probably a terrific fisherman, but he is the worst football player I've ever seen in my life, honest to God. He is the worst. I thought the kid O'Korn at Michigan that threw the interception against Ohio State was the worst quarterback I'd ever seen until this guy. This guy throws interceptions more than I eat toast.
The funny thing is, and I don't disagree with anything you've said, the statistics back that up. I think he's the worst starting quarterback rating-wise in NFL history. And think about this, though. There was 2 separate times over the past 2 seasons when Sean McDermott voluntarily twisted everything he was going to do to get Nathan Peterman a start. Last year it was benching Tyrod Taylor in the middle of a playoff season. He was just itching to do that. And then this year at the end of training camp, he's like, well, we're going to trade Adrian McCarron. We're not going to start Josh Allen. This is the Nathan Peterman show again. Twice an NFL coach, who we kind of respect, I guess, in Sean McDermott, has voluntarily started that guy. So what does that say about Sean McDermott? What does that say about the direction of the Bills? I'm always of the mindset of, did you get the obvious things wrong, like Adam Gase getting this whole Kenyon Drake, Frank Gore thing wrong? If you can't see the obvious stuff, what other stuff are you screwing up that we can't see with the naked eye? It's kind of troubling that Sean McDermott has this love affair with Nathan Peterman.
Yeah, Carver High, throw in your 2 cents here because you're a giant Bills aficionado. It has to be driving you crazy. And what do you think of McDermott? Because I think you were on him last year when they made the playoffs for the first time in 18 years. Now that is that souring that taste?
He's lost a lot of credit with myself and a lot of Bills fans by what he's done continuing to play the guy. I don't mind losing. I've gotten used to that being a Bills fan, but I don't like when we get embarrassed nationally like we've been when he starts this guy.
Frank, can you hold on? Because I got to ask you about 20 more questions. I'm unfulfilled at this point.
Yeah, sounds good, man.
All right, Frank Schwab, Yahoo Sports, talking on the bench. We're going to do more Pain Day with him. We'll talk about everything, the Chiefs, the Finns game of the Jets, that field they played on at Hard Rock. What happened there? It was the college game the night before. We'll talk about the Vikings, 10 sacks. How bad was the Lions line? The Redskins lost three starters for the rest of the season. The Steelers, big win in Baltimore. We talked about Bell already. I want to talk about how they're playing without him. Texans win was big. Chargers, the Saints win over the Rams, and the Pats over the Packers. We'll do all that with Frank Schwab coming up. Talking to Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports about NFL Pain Day. So the game's 21-14 still. Tennessee up, 8:45 left in the game in Dallas. So let's go to the Chiefs real quick. They continue to impress. They continue to rack it up. They're scoring, you know, somewhere between 35 and, you know, 45 points a game. And my question is this. Everyone's doing it. Mahomes, Hunt, Kelsey, Hill. I mean, top to bottom, it's crazy watching them. But they always lose in the playoffs. They always fail in the playoffs. Do you think this team will fail?
It's I hate to just blanket that because they haven't had a team like this. They haven't had a Mahomes. They haven't had a team that looks like the greatest show on turf. But, you know, I guess the argument would be, I hate to put this at Andy Reid's feet, but he has the history. We all know it. And that's got to be acknowledged here. And also, you know, whereas the old Rams of 20 years ago, they play their playoff games in a dome. Well, I've been to Kansas City in January. It ain't nice. You could get one of those 10-degree days when nobody's out there wanting to play and the final score is going to be 12-10, and that isn't necessarily conducive to the Chiefs, who aren't this hard-nosed defensive team. They're up and down the field, and that's working great in the regular season. So, look, if you wanted to tell me this is just a regular season team, that they're built for the regular season to score 35 points against the Cleveland Browns and blow them out, yeah, I can see it. But I also hate to just saddle them with that because I do think this is a different Chiefs team. We haven't seen a Chiefs team this good yet.
Do you think that the Browns did the right thing, cleaning house? And where do you think they're going to, like, lean in terms of some of the names that you're hearing? I've heard interesting ones, even Lincoln Riley and then, you know, McDaniels again. Do you believe any of that?
Oh, I can't even imagine why any team would consider Josh McDaniels to be their head coach anymore. After what he did to Indianapolis, when he accepted the job and then basically they were ready to announce him and he didn't get on the plane. Like, why on earth would you trust that guy again, especially with the history? I covered him with the Broncos. I'm still based out here in Denver.
Right.
It was a disaster. It was awful. So, yes, why would you think that, oh, yeah, this will be the time Josh McDaniels isn't going to screw us over? What? Why? So, I don't know. I just don't know why he's even being brought up, but I guess they have their reasons. I think Lincoln Riley's got to be the guy. Like, you just have to go to him with a blank check and say, what do you want, Lincoln? We'll outspend the University of Oklahoma. Come play with the big boys. See if your offense works up here. And he's got the relationship with Baker. I think that's a hire that would really invigorate the fan base, get them excited about where this offense is, where this team is going. And I think you really try to get him. Now, who knows? I mean, after that, Bruce Arians threw his hat into the ring. Mike McCarthy was mentioned by somebody, and I guess if the Packers don't rally and they miss the playoffs, he might be available. So it's got to be an offensive coach. It just has to be. You've got to get the right offensive coach for Baker Mayfield, and I honestly think the best one for him is Lincoln Riley. Just run that offense. He obviously knows how to do it.
Do you think the field was acceptable at Hard Rock for a pro football game?
No, I don't know, honestly, what more you can do. If you're going to share these stadiums, if it's going to be, the Hurricanes are playing on Saturday, the Dolphins, that's inevitable. That's going to happen. You don't know that it's going to just dump rain on the entire Duke-Miami game on Saturday. So I don't think it was a great deal by any stretch of the imagination. But what can you do? I think that's just – it's just going to happen once or twice a year. It's not fun for anybody involved. You don't want to see it happen, but it's going to happen. That's just kind of the way it goes, I guess. And it just stinks for those players had to play on.
So what do you think of the Lions' offensive line yesterday against the Vikings? That was pretty embarrassing.
It was terrible. He gave up 10 sacks, and this isn't one of those, hey, we got a patchwork offensive line going. They have spent a ton of money on guys like Ricky Wagner. They've spent draft picks. They have invested so much in that offensive line, and to play like that, I know the Vikings are good, man, but that's embarrassing. That just can't happen. And, you know, Matthew Stafford, the roller coaster with him just to – I like Matthew Stafford well enough, I guess, but, boy, the roller coaster is never going to end with him. It's just he's either great or he's terrible. There's just no in-between with him. I thought he was terrible yesterday. I thought he was terrible against the Seahawks 2 weeks ago, too. So, I don't know. I just – at some point, are the Lions ever going to be good? I mean, it just seems like no matter what they do, they're just destined for this.
You know, I hate to say it. Everyone hates when I say it, but I don't even think they should have that. And no one likes when I say it, that Thanksgiving game every year. I want to pick my nose watching them play football on Thanksgiving. No offense to anybody. I love Detroit. It's a great city. But the Lions, to me, it is just like having a stomach ache watching them play football on Thanksgiving. I'd rather talk to my mother-in-law. The Falcons, do you think they're riding the ship? They look pretty good at FedEx. Do you think they could be, because of all of that talent they have, I mean, they look good yesterday. I mean, their offense was clicking. Tevin Coleman, everybody, Julio finally had a touchdown. They played defense. Ryan was lighting it up. This team might actually turn it around and make the playoffs, do you think? Any shot?
The problem is the NFC's tough, and this is the Packers' problem, too. We're talking about, you know, how many wins you got to reach. You look at the Panthers are already 6-2, and you got teams that I think you need 10 wins in the NFC to make the wild card. Okay, well, that means the Atlanta Falcons got to go 6-2 down the stretch, and they have a tough schedule. I think they play at the Packers, at the Panthers. They have another really tough road game. I just was writing about this. I can't remember who it was. But if you look at the Falcons' schedule, find me 6 wins in there to get some to 10 wins. I mean, that's the problem. It's when you dig that 1-4 hole, it almost doesn't matter how well you play after that. You almost have to be perfect. I don't think there's a perfect team by any means. But it's good. I mean, they've given themselves a shot, at least. I thought they were really impressive yesterday. Kudos to Dan Quinn for figuring this all out and getting them back on track. But it's just hard to figure out where their 10 wins are going to come from to make that wild card spot.
Frank Schwab, Yahoo Sports. So my favorite quarterbacks in the NFL to watch are Ben Roethlisberger and Cam Newton. And they're going to play Thursday. What do you think of the job Cam Newton's doing? Now, I'm not a big fan of all the, you know, his whole act, Superman and the fashion clothes and all this other stuff. But
yeah, you don't like his wardrobe, huh?
And even, you know, just it's none of my business, his wardrobe. I could care less. But my thing is, like, that whole act and his cockiness on the field and all this other stuff. But I just respect him so much as a player. I just think he's a badass. And I think, you know, I'm going to watch my two favorite quarterbacks. And not many people would say that. They'd say Brady, Aaron Rodgers, all these others. But I really like these two. There's something about Roethlisberger. He's the toughest guy in the league, if you ask me. And then, seriously, and I'm a homer for the Steelers, but he is a badass. And Cam Newton is just unbelievable.
Yeah, I love Cam. Let's not even go down the road of all the other stuff. Let's just talk about him as a player. He's so unique. And he was going back to college, too. He's this guy who, you know, everybody talks about, you know, oh, got to protect quarterbacks. You got to protect defensive players from Cam Newton. This dude is, I don't know, you know, just being around him for the first time really was Super Bowl week a couple of years ago. I'm like, my goodness, this dude looks like an offensive tackle. Like, he's listed at like 250, and there's no way he's 250. Just a monster of a dude with this cannon arm, can throw, can run the ball, obviously. He's one of the better running quarterbacks I've ever seen, especially with his style. I love him. Yeah, I've always loved watching him play. And just the results always follow. I know he doesn't put up those Brady numbers, but the Panthers are always winning games. They're always moving the ball downfield, and give Cam Newton credit. He's just. I don't know that there's ever been a comparison for him in NFL history. He's just so unique to what he does.
What did you think of the job that Drew Brees did yesterday on Bourbon Street, handing the Rams their first loss? I think that's the NFC Championship. I could be wrong, obviously, but I'd love to see it.
Yeah, I would too. Run that game back all day. The only thing is that the Saints have the tougher schedule down the stretch, so I'm not quite sure that they necessarily get that number one seed. I think whoever hosts that game is going to win, because you just can't beat the Saints in the Superdome. Not the way they're playing. I mean, that Drew Brees is just so special, and I think Mahomes is going to take the MVP this year, and it's going to stink because Drew Brees deserves an MVP before he retires. And don't blame me. The one time I voted was 2009. I voted for Brees, and he got robbed that year. So it's just weird. It's one of those, like, Kobe Bryant's only won the MVP one time type of deals where you say, really? Like, Drew Brees has never won an MVP. This guy legitimately has an argument as the greatest quarterback of all time. I wouldn't put him there, but he's got an argument, and he's going to finish without an MVP. And that's kind of, it's kind of sad. I guess he's got a shot if he keeps this up and the Saints keep this up, although it's really going to be tough to beat Mahomes.
Frank, Aaron Rodgers is unbelievable. We all know that. He's fun to watch. But why do you think they, and is it just easy enough to say their defense? Because I thought their defense looked good against the Rams, and I thought their defense looked bad last night at Gillette. Why are the Packers losing? And, you know, you got the great quarterback, and I just don't get it because, you know, he's won a Super Bowl, and I'm starting to wonder if he'll ever win another one. I mean, I don't know what they do up there.
No, it's practically inexcusable for them to miss the playoffs. And they're going to have to, again, we talk about 10 wins in the NFC. They're going to have to go 7-1 the rest of the way to get to 10 wins. They haven't looked like a 7-1 team to me. I don't know if they have to you, but not to me. So I just, it's amazing. And I wonder, and I'm being serious when I say this, if the Packers would have lost that Super Bowl, and Mike McCarthy wouldn't have had this like never-ending job security because he won one Super Bowl, would Aaron Rodgers have actually won more Super Bowls in his career? Because maybe you blow out Mike McCarthy in 2012, let's say, and you give Aaron Rodgers a better coach. You give him whoever, the Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, one of those guys, whoever, when they're going to make a hire, maybe Aaron Rodgers ends up winning multiple Super Bowls. It's just, it's amazing how they're squandering this guy. It's tough to win in the playoffs, and if you're just getting unlucky in the playoffs every year, kind of like the Steelers have a few times, I think, that's fine. This team's not even being competitive. They're 3-4-1 with the greatest quarterback on the planet. What are you doing? I can't imagine McCarthy is going to survive this if they don't make the playoffs, and I can't see this team rallying to make the playoffs. They ain't going 7-1 in the second half, not the way they played so far.
Yeah, I agree with you. I got 1 minute respectfully. Let me ask you this question. After the Titans are now kicking the Cowboys' ass, Mariota just ran through them like they were butter, melted butter. And Jerry Jones was sitting up in his booth, slamming his hand on the table. He looks like a guy that might fire Garrett after this. They're 3-5. Is that happening, do you think?
You know what? I thought the moment for him was that Texans game when he didn't go for it on fourth down. Like, you know, Jerry's a big businessman. He's probably a gambler. He's, you know, the old South guy. How did he feel seeing Jason Garrett punt from Texans territory in overtime? Like, that's not Jerry Jones, man. And if they don't make the playoffs this year, why even keep Jason around? He's won one playoff game. What are we even doing here? I think if the Cowboys don't make the playoffs after they went, were sellers at the deadline and got Amari Cooper, I think it was it for Garrett. I just can't see him coming back.
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder if he'll make it out of tonight. I mean, literally, like, this
guy.
Like, they went on national television on Monday Night Football and laid an egg. I mean, they really did. And this guy's in charge. And that owner and his son were sitting there. They looked like they were about ready to do it tonight. Hey, Frank, killer stuff tonight. Fantastic effort by you. I give it that's like a 4-touchdown game for you, Frank.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I'm not Patrick Mahomes, but I'll take it. I'll take 4.
You're the man. I love it. Frank Schwab now will be replacing Nate Peterman in Buffalo is the Bills quarterback this week. Thanks a lot, Frank.
Anytime, man.
All right, Frank Schwab, Yahoo Sports on the bench.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.